We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, what is up, everybody? Welcome to the Guilty of Charge podcast. My name is Steven, and I am the host, as always. Joining me is my guy, Tyler. Tyler, what's up, man? How are you doing today?
So much better. I'm finally feeling some health. I got to go to the gym today, and it's always rough. You know, after you're sick, you go to the gym, and you realize if you miss a couple of weeks, well, you can't quite lift as much as you did. So it was very humbling, but happy to be back and kind of exercise those demons. Steven, how are you? How was your Valentine's Day?
Doing great, man. We had a nice time. We decided to go out to one of our favorite restaurants yesterday. We had a great time. It feels weird because we haven't done a show together in we recorded for the Chargers, obviously, but we haven't done a show here together since last Tuesday. So it feels longer than that. Like I just saw you on Monday, but it feels like it's been longer than that. So it is a weird thing. We had Monday off for work, and then Tuesday I took a group of our students to tour Cal Poly, and then Wednesday I had a counselor's training. So today was my first day of going to my regular school too. So I went up to a kid and I was like, "Hey, did you have a good weekend?" And I was like, "Wait, it's Thursday. Why did I just ask you that?" So timing is very off this week is what I'm trying to say here today.
Yeah, I had cultural development diversity training thing today at the district. So tomorrow we have off, and it's a 4-day weekend. So I might have a 3-day week basically. So yeah. I'll have to tell you about my lovely day today though, after this.
Yeah, 100%. And you and I were talking beforehand. The X-Men series from when we were kids is coming back. So I watched the trailer like before I went to work, and I've been singing it like all day at work today in my head. So very excited for that. That was definitely a nostalgic moment, and really looking forward to the new series.
I hope it turns out better than apparently Madam Web did, which I don't understand who greenlit that. So
that's technically a Sony thing though, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
All the Sony stuff just kind of sucks, but it is what it is. All right. So we have a fun show planned for you guys today. This is our wading into the waters of free agency, if you will. So Tyler and I wanted to discuss the free agents with ties to Jim Harbaugh and Joe Ortiz. I think when we had this idea to start it this way, I think we probably pictured a smaller group than what we came up with. So there are 40 names that we were able to find that have connections to Jim Harbaugh, either through Michigan or through the 49ers or to Joe Ortiz because of his time with the Baltimore Ravens. So it's an extensive list. We'll discuss a lot of different options here, but I think it's the right way to start our free agency discourse. I think we're exactly 1 month from the start of the new league year. So this, I know, like, we're full ahead into draft season, but today felt like the right time to start our free agency discourse.
Yeah, I do think it is worth talking about all these names. Yes, it's a lot of names, but it's worth talking about. Now, you could end up with, like, my Jim Harbaugh coaching staff candidate video where, you know, I find all these different names and it just ends up being Greg Roman and Jesse Minter. Yeah. But yeah, it's still worth going through. And I think that the Chargers are in a position this year where they're not going to go get the expensive free agent, much like last year, I think. Maybe just different names that they'll cycle through. So we'll see who they end up with. But it's good to at least present these names for now. And then eventually we can get into a bit more of an idea of who they could add. Because I think that, especially looking at some of the PFF projections for these guys in terms of contract, which, hey, if you don't love the grades, that's on you. Go with Brad in these projections. Like, by the time we get to free agency, they're pretty lockstep. So wiggle room for now. But I think it was just good to find some of these guys with, you know, smaller projections that will add up to a better roster for the Chargers overall. And then, of course, net those comp picks later on that Ortiz has talked about.
Yeah, I think first and foremost, Brad is definitely one of the best in the business when it comes to contract projections. So I know there's some skepticism about, you know, player X getting this kind of contract, especially when it comes to like the Chargers free agents in terms of Austin Ekeler and Gerald Everett. But he wouldn't just throw these numbers out there. Like, he, like, if you look at his free agent rankings, he has like free agency comps in there. He has like what the market is, what the pros and cons of signing the player, like what that player's challenges would be for the open market. So Brad does a great job of breaking things down. Hopefully we can have him on the show again, as we always have had before free agency, so we can, you know, get some thoughts there as well as Arjun too. So before we dive into the specifics here, I guess like my question that how do we start this conversation is looking at specifically Austin Ekeler, Gerald Everett, Alohi Gilman. Like, how much does Joe Ortiz's desire to get the comp picks going play into their specific situations? Because Jim Harbaugh spoke like pretty glowingly about Austin Ekeler. We can talk about Gerald Everett's situation. It's kind of different than Austin Eckler's. And then Alohi Gilman, we've talked about potentially coming back because of just like the need at safety. So Tyler, I guess let's start there before we get into specifics. What's your thoughts on Joe's specific strategy regarding the in-house big three of free agents, if you will?
Honestly, I don't think with those three that they don't think much about the comp picks for those guys. If they get one, great. But I don't think it's going to matter. You know, with Alohi Gilman, I don't know what contract he gets. I don't think it'll play too much into it. So I think they could just as easily bring back Everett, bring back Gilman. Eckler's the one I feel like 95% confident he's not returning, despite Jim Harbaugh talking, you know, highly of him. I just don't see it. I don't see the team operating that way. I could see the Ravens bringing in an Austin Ekeler kind of free agent on a one-year deal and letting him go. But I don't really see the Chargers doing that at this stage. I think both sides want a fresh start. Either get younger for the Chargers and Ekeler finding another contract, another maybe more stable spot somewhere else, a consistent role for him. I really think that while Everett should be brought back, I think that, I don't know, I really think it just comes down to Gilman. Now, if Everett is not brought back, I think that kind of makes Bowers kind of the pick there in the first round, if it isn't already. If he is brought back, then I think maybe there's some pause there. But otherwise, I just think it's Gilman. I think Gilman comes back. I think he deserves it. I think they kind of have to. They're going to have two new corners. I don't think they need another new safety on top of that.
Yeah, I guess I'll start with Gilman. I think like he's pretty scheme versatile, where he can play in different positions. I mean, he's been playing a lot of free safety for the Chargers, which is not really his ideal position. So, you know, looking into, you know, kind of like what I picture of like the Jesse Minter defense, where I'm hoping Derwin James is more in the slot, more in the box. You're going to need a guy who can kind of play the intermediate level of the field and then also a deep part of the field, which is what Geno Stone did, who is mentioned in this slideshow later on. He played the deep part of the field and did so wonderfully for the Ravens. So in your kind of three safety world, like, you need a box guy, you need an intermediate guy, you need a deep safety guy. And I think bringing Alohi back just it takes the pressure off of going out and signing somebody else or drafting somebody else. This isn't a great safety class, as much as I do like my guy Cole Bishop and Sione Vaki from Utah. The safety class is pretty underwhelming. Like, I think your draft resources are better spent elsewhere. And so just shoring up the safety spot by bringing Alohi back, signing somebody else to play deep safety, I think is the right approach there. Jared Everett, I think, should come back. I think his film and what he's meant to the team would want me. I would love to see him back, but I don't think he's a fit for what Jim Harbaugh, Greg Roman, and company usually like out of their tight end position. At least what they've done historically. They've never really had a Gerald Everett type. Like, even Vernon Davis, who is able to do things after the catch, like he was an inline guy, like who could occasionally flex out to the slot. Whereas Gerald Everett is like, when he's running routes, like he's running routes from the slot exclusively. Like, he's not an inline tight end wide receiver. That's what Donald Parham was for the Chargers. So I think Everett and Austin Eckler both do end up walking. It is going to be interesting to see how the Chargers play the comp pick formula, who they sign and how many players they sign to what contracts to try and keep those comp picks intact.
I'm curious how Gilman would want to play this too, and how his camp would want to play this, because I can't imagine he's that expensive. I don't believe he made PFF's top 150. A lot of players didn't, surprisingly, and I don't think Gilman would make it. So I am curious if he would want to bet on himself on, like, let's say, a one-year deal with the Chargers, and if the Chargers themselves would go, hey, we'd be open to that, one, because we can't spend a ton, but two, let's say you have that Geno Stone kind of year. I forget what the projection is, and we'll get into it in the slideshow, but it's, you know, 6 million APY or whatever it is, 5 million APY for Geno Stone. Like, you parlay Alohi Gilman, who is pretty solid, into a healthy, solid Jesse Minter, good defense kind of season, where the defense isn't the worst defense in the league. You could parlay that into a nice contract, which means a nice comp pick for the Chargers in the future. So I could see them doing something like that with Gilman. The rest, I'm not really so sure.
Yeah, so Alohi Gilman did make the top 150. He was number 137 out of 150 on PFF's free agent rankings. Brad has him projected to have a one-year $2.67 million contract, which for me, that's an easy sign for me. Like, I think, you know, you're essentially getting, you know, at least average safety play out of Alohi Gilman in a less than a $3 million contract. Like, I think that's, you know, I think that's an easy sign. He's a leader. He's a playmaker. I think that's a no-brainer for me. For what it's worth, Gerald Everett was at number 83 in this ranking, projected as a one-year $5.5 million contract. Again, that's a contract that the Chargers will be able to do if they want to. Mm-hmm. But that would probably net them a sixth-round comp pick if they are able to kind of keep that clean. And then Austin Eckler comes in at number 56 overall on this list and is projected from a two-year $6.75 million per year, $13.5 million total, which, again, if kept clean, probably nets them a fifth-rounder. At worst, a sixth rounder in terms of that would be a 2025 comp pick.
I'm actually looking through at the 2023 rookies for safeties, because you and I weren't super in love with the safety class, unless you kind of Brian Branch as a safety.
Yeah,
I don't think we were like, wow,
Branch was like the one class.
And even then, it was like kind of corner, slot corner type.
Yeah,
so the most snaps were Jordan Howden, 569 snaps. Jordan Battle, 524. Like, the safety class did not contribute last year, even though some of the ones we liked, like a Jartavius Martin.
Yeah.
I know you liked Hickman, I believe. Like, Anthony Johnson, I thought would be much better, barely played. So, assuming that this class, if it's even worse than last class, to come in and be Alohi Gilman, I'm not really banking on that. And frankly, you know, you got to use the second and, I think, third round picks on a not safety. And so at this point, is it fourth round pick or Alohi Gilman at $2 million, you know, in 2024? Like, that's an easy call for me.
Yeah, I think so. Last year's safety class, like, if you Cannon Branch is a safety and then Jaquan Martin was a safety, those two guys had really high grades for me. And I think both of them would be safety one and safety two in this class for me. But the drop off in the safety class was like massive after that. Like, the depth of that class was basically non-existent. I think there are some quality depth options in this class, but it feels like mostly like day back end of day two, day three type of players. And it's just, it doesn't feel like a group that I'm like dying to invest in, whereas there's some great depth into some other classes here. So definitely wanted to start with there. I think we're kind of on the same page regarding the quote unquote big three on the current Chargers spot. It is a little unfortunate that some of these players did not develop into the way that we had hoped that the Chargers could have several potential comp picks incoming instead of just the two. But we'll see what happens there.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, what's up, Chargers fans? Make Little Caesars, the official pizza sponsor of the NFL, part of your game day. Order online during our pizza pregame 1 hour before NFL games and get ready for some football and fun. Choose your favorite Little Caesars pizza or pick the toppings you crave. Either way, you win. And speaking of winning, everyone scores with convenient delivery or our in-store pizza portal pickup. So grab some friends and enjoy a few slices during the tastiest hour before Chargers kickoff.
Hey, it's Tyler from the Guilty as Charged podcast. I'm here to talk about Prize Picks. Prize Picks is a skill-based, real money daily fantasy sports game. How does it work? You pick 2 to 6 players and if they will go more or less than their Prize Picks projection. Watch your progress update in real time. Win up to 25 times your entry amount, and cash out your winnings with quick scoring, settling, and withdrawals. PrizePicks offers frequent discounts, bonuses, and other exciting offers. Players can enjoy community-wide promotions, including weekly promotions like Taco Tuesday and Flex Friday. I've loved using PrizePicks so far. This week, I've got Justin Herbert with more than 284.5 passing yards, and Keenan Allen with more than 82.5 receiving yards. To make your selections, go to prizepicks.com/guilty and use code GUILTY for our first deposit match up to $100. That's prizepicks.com/guilty and use code GUILTY for a first deposit match up to $100.
All right, Tyler, let's get to these free agent targets. Again, these are 40 free agent names connected to Joe Ortiz and Jim Harbaugh. So hopefully you guys enjoy the list. You know, I see some good conversations happening in the chat. If you have a question or a comment about one of the specific free agents, we can definitely discuss that. So feel free to type away there. Super chats, obviously, always appreciated.
All righty. No particular order for how these guys are presented here. Yeah. They're grouped by position, but otherwise, I don't like Madubuike or however you say his name is next to Hurst. And those are two very different contracts, two very different seasons. It just happened to be that way as I was going through. So, yeah. Over 40 players here. I see some other names in the chat. It's Ortiz or Harbaugh connections. So they were a 49er, which is like, I don't think anybody really. They were a Raven under Ortiz, or they were from Michigan. So 40 of these guys. You find another guy, great, let me know. Did not include Tyrod Taylor, by the way, or I think Tyler Huntley is a free agent as well. So apologies. I don't think the Chargers might be in the market for either of those.
I think like we could make a whole other show if we wanted to like really dive deep into like Greg Roman connections and Marcus Brady connections.
Yes.
This is exclusively Harbaugh and Ortiz.
Yeah. So starting off with wide receiver and running back, frankly, I don't
feel any of these receivers are ones that we have to bring in, that the Chargers absolutely need to sign. You cannot look at last year's draft class and this upcoming class and go, yeah, let's go spend money on a receiver, especially when you have some money on receiver. If they did, I'd get it. There's a name that people really like, former Michigan Wolverine, played for the Cleveland Browns for a bit. But these guys, you know, Chris Moore, Marquise Brown, Miles Boykin, and the other ones we'll talk about, I don't think there was one in here where it's like, yeah, got to go out and get that player. But if they did, I would understand it. I just think this draft class is too good.
Yeah, and also from a roster construction, like the Chargers need to get younger at wide receiver, not, you know, more veteran, more, you know, expensive. Like the Chargers are probably in a position where they need to double down at wide receiver because you're cutting one of Keenan or Mike. Josh Palmer's a free agent after next season. You don't know what you have in Quentin. So, you know, the Chargers need to get younger at this position. And also, like, they're going to have less volume. So yeah. I'm not too keen. If the Chargers needed a punt returner or a kick returner, I could be about it. Totally. But, I mean, they have an all-pro potential
exactly.
returner. So I think they're generally pretty set at wide receiver in terms of, you know, not having to add a veteran free agent.
Yeah, so that they could add a body like a Miles Boykin or some other guys, James Proche or Proche, maybe some of these guys. Fun fact, James Proche or Proche, I forgot how to say his last name, he averaged 5.1 yards per attempt on kick returns. I had to throw that in there.
Wait, how is that even possible?
I don't know. I don't know, but I was looking. Okay, now I got
that's like one. That's like hard to do, man.
Yes, this is very difficult to do. Let me triple check. Okay, on kickoff returns in 2023, it says he averaged. Oh, sorry, it's his career is 5.1 this past year, but this past year is 6.3 on kickoff return.
Wow.
Again, I don't really know how that's possible, but I had to include that.
That is what a stat. I did not know that was even possible. That's like what you would expect out of a guy who like is the, you know, like the fullback who gets like the pooch kickoffs, you know, and just like rumbles for 5 yards.
I don't know what to tell you, but yeah, eight career returns. So it's not like it's just one. And yeah, 19 and 22 yards in the two seasons he actually returned it. Not great.
Odell Beckham Jr. I think would have been fun a couple years ago. I think he's very well past his prime at this point. Mm-hmm. I trust Brad. I don't know who is paying $10 million for Odell Beckham Jr. at this point, but it's a big name. So
yeah, it is a big name. I don't remember if there was rumors of OBJ wanting the Chargers a year ago, but nothing ever materialized. And this is not the offseason. I think they do it.
Yeah.
You know, they had OBJ to pair him with like a Zay Flowers to get that offensive, you know, group going. You have those guys already, I think, for the Chargers. You don't need to go add him.
Yeah. So next on the list here, we have Nelson Agholor, who's just played for the Baltimore Ravens, had one of their, a few big plays for them, actually. And then Laquon Treadwell, the former first round pick who's bounced around, also played for the Ravens. I think he actually did some return stuff as well for them this year. And then the Michigan connection, I think you just alluded to, is Donovan Peoples-Jones, who currently, or most recently, excuse me, played for the Detroit Lions, drafted by the Cleveland Browns. I'm not opposed to like a flyer here on some of these guys, but again, I think the proper way to adjust the wide receiver room is through the draft for the Chargers.
Yeah, I agree. And for those who are watching, there's OTC valuations, over the cap valuations on here. If there was no Pro Football Focus one, I tried to find an OTC valuation. It does say 2023 OTC valuation, so not entirely sure how that translates to what they would actually get, but I wanted to put something else up there.
Yeah.
Donovan Peoples-Jones is, I think, a popular one among Chargers fans, given the Michigan connection, but again, with receivers, I think I'm ready to move past this and look at other positions like running back.
Yeah, so running back, these are all Ravens guys that Tyler has on here. Justice Hill is more of your like third down type. J.K. Dobbins, unfortunately, just like have no idea what he has left in the tank coming off of an ACL and then an Achilles injury. Loved him in the draft. He was my very clear-cut RB1 in that specific draft. Would have been very happy if the Chargers had been able to draft him that year. And then Gus Edwards, another very popular name out there. He's kind of at least my preference in terms of running back. I don't think he'll cost all that much. I don't think Brad even has a projection for him. So you're probably looking at like $2 million or less. Had a pretty good season in 2023 as kind of the physical downhill type that I think blends well in the Greg Roman offense.
Yeah, I'm all for it. However they decide to do it, I think whoever it is, there will be a free agent running back ad.
Yeah.
Will it be their starter? Will it be their second guy? Will it be a bigger guy? Will it be a scat back? I don't know. They'll compliment whoever they don't get, whoever they get with someone in the draft. So if it's Gus Edwards, you want to find a bit more of a pass catcher later, fine. If it's Hill, you want to find more of an early down guy, fine. I think that's how they'll do it. I think free agent, one draft guy, call it a day. I think that would be a solid way to jumpstart this. Not sure about Blake Corum. I watched him, did not have a fun time, but that's another story for another time.
How dare you? No, I think I generally tend to agree. You want kind of at least adding two running backs to the room right now, you know, given the current state where Isaiah Spiller and Elijah Dotson are your only running backs on the roster. So you're adding at least two, no matter what form it takes. I think we could see, you know, maybe even a third somewhere in there if they can make things work. But I'm on board with Justice Hill or Gus Edwards. I think they fill different roles, and then you can kind of draft the opposite. So if you want to sign Justice Hill to be kind of your third down change of pace back, then you can go draft an Audric Estime, a Braylon Allen, that kind of bigger body type of running back. Because the Ravens and the 49ers always had, you know, that 1-2 punch of kind of the thunder lightning kind of deal. And so I think this is a nice balance because the Ravens won't sign both of these guys back. So I think one of them will get to free agency, and I think the Chargers could just scoop up the other one, 1 year, $2 million and call it good.
Yes. Fitness buddy, we're going to get to this contract projection for MetaBK, and it's a lot. Let me get to that one first, and let's see if we feel the same way. It was an eye opener for sure.
Yeah.
Next up, we've got offensive line. Try to break it up into interior offensive line and then tackles. We have Ben Bredesen, New York Giants interior offensive lineman. Then Kevin Zeitler, the Baltimore Ravens right guard. If you're looking for a right guard, there's plenty of right guards. If you're looking for a center, not a ton of true centers. You're finding some guys that have played center, but not a lot of guys that are just a pure true center. I have a cut candidate in here just to find a center. I don't know if you have any comments on these offensive linemen, but these are two names.
Yeah, Kevin Zeiler's probably not somebody I would be super interested in. And, you know, an older guy on the decline. I think he's not on Brad's ranking.
Let me double check. I think originally I had a filter on where it's just running backs. It's like, why can't I find anybody?
Okay.
Yeah. So Zeitler's actually at 2 years, 7.5 mil APY.
Yeah. So similar to what he was worth last year. Like I said, I think you probably are trying to keep the comp picks clean. Zeitler's probably not somebody I would be interested in anyway. As an older guy on the decline, Bredesen is interesting because he does have that versatility where he's played all three positions along the offensive line. I liked him a good amount coming out of college as well. So I think there's, you know, a need for the Chargers to get, you know, a veteran backup into your offensive lineman, probably a second, just based off of like, if you draft a center and you can't really walk into the season with a rookie center and then Brennan Hymus as your two centers, like you do probably need a quality veteran guy. And so having somebody like Bredesen who's played all three positions, I think could make some sense for them. I don't think he would be very expensive. He knows the kind of scheme that Harbaugh wants to run. So that would be a good choice for me of somebody that, you know, it checks a lot of boxes for what you're looking for out of a backup into your offensive lineman.
Yeah, I think they're going to have to, they can't go into this draft without a center. They have to go into the draft with a guy that they're going to go, okay, should we miss out on everyone?
Yeah.
You're going to be our starter.
Yeah.
And sure, it seems like a great center class, but they did not draft a single tight end last year. So it can happen. You can find other needs, or you can have every guy go right in front of your pick. So, you know, oh, there goes Jackson Power Johnson. Oh, there goes Cedric Van Prant. Oh, there goes Frazier. Like, I do think they have to find themselves a starter. Even if it's not your favorite option, they got to find someone who can actually go out there and play and start. And I don't believe this regime would think it's Hymus.
Yeah. Yeah, Hymus is more of a zone guy anyway. Next one's on here. Graham Glasgow from the Detroit Lions. probably the guy I would say is the best player of this interior offensive line group.
Mm-hmm.
He's mostly been a right guard, and he can play some center, left guard every once in a while, but mostly a right guard, like Tyler mentioned. Mason Cole, formerly of the Pittsburgh Steelers. He was a Michigan guy, right? Or did he play for the Ravens previously?
Ooh, I always have these. I should have this in front of me when you were mentioning it. Mason Cole. I have the list in front of me, but trying to remember where I put Mason Cole on here is such a chore. Michigan guy, 2018 okay. draft pick. Technically not a free agent next year. I think if you have a center, you're keeping him, but technically he is a cut candidate. He has no guaranteed money, I believe, and like because they could save $5 million by cutting him.
Yeah.
But still, I think they would keep him, but worth mentioning.
Yeah, no, that's a good call for sure. It would add to that interior offensive line intrigue for me. And then John Runyon is on here. For what it's worth, John Runyon specifically mentioned by Brad in a different article as a potential free agent target of choice. He is somebody who's played left guard and right guard. His dad played for the Chargers. He played for Michigan. So there's a lot of ties here. I guess that kind of depends how you feel about Zion and Jamari, mm-hmm. because to me, you're signing John Runyon or Graham Glasgow, one of those two, to be a starter for you. You're not signing them to be a backup. So I know that some fans are down on both of those young players. I'm not quite ready to sign like a legitimate starter over them. What are your thoughts there?
Zion's safe. I think he's safe. I think you look at as much as everyone is not happy with Zion, I think if you watch the film, you feel better. And frankly, I can't see how you take a player who is that talented, that good on tape, that good at the combine, that good of a person, individual by all accounts, and not turn him into a very, very good player. So I'm thinking this regime feels like they can do that. And I think same with Jamari. The difference is one player is a first rounder, one player is a sixth rounder. So there's a lot of right guards here. Do I think they sign someone to start over Jamari? No. But I think that's more of a Sawyer McFadden sort of battle discussion than it is a signing. I think if they sign anybody at any spot, it's either a backup guy or a starting center.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I think you can still see what you want to get out of Sawyer. I think the other thing that they could consider, if you sign a guy like John Runyon, then Jamari just kind of becomes your first offensive lineman off the bench type, and he can play all four of the five positions, essentially. He's never played right tackle. Obviously, that would be kind of an adjustment for him. But it's not the worst thing in the world to have Jamari Sawyer be your first offensive lineman off the bench. I still believe that he can be a quality starter, but
yeah,
you know, new regime coming in might look at a 6th round pick and say, hey, you know what, like let's get some veteran competition in here and see kind of how this unfolds. But I kind of would prefer that to be a lower tier free agent, because John Runyon to me, I think he's over $7 million projected. Yeah, so he's at $6.65 million projected from Brad, 3-year contract. That to me is like you're signing him and he's your starter, you know, for the next 2 years kind of contract. So
yeah,
I kind of think that if the Chargers go free agent offensive lineman, like you mentioned, you sign a starting center, that's the easiest one. And then you don't have to deal with kind of, you know, the competition at the end.
Yeah, I agree.
Offensive tackle. Don't think we have to spend too much time on this. The Chargers do need a swing tackle. Jermaine Illuminor and Michael Onwenu both have probably starting caliber contracts coming their way. Tyree Phillips is an interesting one. He's played both sides, I believe. So that could be a potential there. He was drafted by the Ravens. So, you know, that could be an interesting connection there. The Chargers cannot head into the season with Foster Terrell again as a swing tackle. So, you know, I'm on board with signing kind of a cheap backup swing tackle like Terry. I think again it takes a need off the board that the Chargers would not have to draft somebody later on.
Yeah, I don't think they do either. I think with this, if it was the same regime, I think they do. I think with the new regime, you're trying to feel better about this tackle heading into the season, even if it's a drafted 4th round tackle or something. I don't know. Every year you and I draft a tackle, I feel like, and it never really plays for the Chargers. It's more of an interior guy, which is fine. I'm glad you're adding linemen, but have to add a tackle. And if you look at this list overall and what we've talked about, what we will talk about, there's so many Ravens players on here. You go, well, that guy was on the team. That guy was on the team because they just kept adding guys. I mean, Rock Ya-Sin, we'll talk about later. He barely had to play for them, but that's a nice third, fourth guy to have on your roster. So I think that's how they'll approach this tackle spot.
Yeah, I agree.
Tight end, not a great group in terms of connections. There's some free agents out there for sure. But your best bets are Max Williams, who did not play last year, and Ben Mason, who did not. Sorry, I think he had one snap last year, but he's one career snap. And it was one snap against the Steelers. So there's that. But, you know, he's listed as like a fullback tight end kind of hybrid. Yeah. And that's the best I got. So Max Williams, who didn't play last year, Ben Mason just played one career snap. If that doesn't tell you that they should draft Brack Bowers because they're literally out of options, or bring back Gerald Everett, I don't know what does.
Yeah, Ben Mason, I think I liked him a decent amount as a fullback at Michigan. And fun fact, the Ravens have drafted three fullbacks since Joe Ortiz became director of college personnel. So maybe that is a position that might need paying attention to for day three. I will not be watching fullbacks personally. I do think the Chargers will have a fullback type on the roster next year.
I'm fascinated by, if we watched fullbacks, how much Xander Horvath would have shot up our boards based on RAS and what he did. But, you know, I don't know how people evaluate fullbacks.
I'm still also kind of bitter about the whole Bobby Hawley thing. Like, we watched a fullback that we loved and then they cut him. And that was just, I will not be doing that again.
never again.
The defensive side of the ball, very intrigued by
yes
to see how the Chargers handle this, because there are a ton of needs on defense.
Yeah, plenty of needs, and I think this is a spot where you just kind of go mercenary in a way and find some of these cheaper guys. Not that these guys in particular are as inexpensive, but at edge, Malik Harrison, Jadeveon Clowney, Kyle Van Noy. Clowney obviously being the most productive of the three, 71 pressures and 10 sacks. I didn't realize it was that many pressures last year.
Yeah.
So good for him. The projection, mostly because he's older and, you know, going to another team. He's projected at 1 year, $9 million. So that's pretty reasonable. I think the Chargers could add a third edge rather than, you know, having to draft one or see how that works out. Kyle Van Noy, his projection, 1 year, $3.33 million. I don't think he'd rule out a return because it's a new regime. You know, if you feel bitter about the previous regime, they're gone. So I think that the guy that brought you in, I think you'd want to maybe, you know, and I guess that Ortiz specifically didn't, but I think that it could happen.
I think Van Noy could be a possibility. He still lives in LA. I know that he loves living in LA. So I think he's spoken pretty positively about the Harbaugh experience. I think he'd be open to playing for Jim. He loves playing for John. And you get to come back to a room where you're kind of familiar with the players there. Obviously he doesn't know Thule, but Khalil or Joey presumably will still be on the team. And, you have some other teammates left over. Derwin would still be here. So I wouldn't rule it out. I think if you head into next season with Khalil, Thule, and Kyle Van Noy as your three main edge rushers, I think that's a ton of fun. I think he knows this system pretty well. I think he fits the system.
Yeah,
you know, I think you have a lot of versatility there between Van Noy and Thule. So I think I'm in favor of this. I know people wanted him back last year, and then he played better this year. 48 pressures, 9 sacks is nothing to seize at. So I would be in favor of a return, especially at that contract. I think that's kind of a no-brainer to me.
Yeah, I would agree. Not much at all. Solid production. LA, great, check. Similar defensive scheme, check. I assume Minter McDonald will be pretty translatable, easy for him. Yeah. So, all good there for sure. Couple of other names. Frank Clark barely played in 2023. Not everybody's favorite. Josh, how do you say Uche?
Uche, yeah.
Okay, Josh Uche, 37 pressures, 3 sacks last year. Supposed to get 7.25 mil in terms of projections. You know, pretty pricey, but good connection there. And then Mike Dana, more of a defensive tackle, defensive end type. Probably too expensive at $8.25 million, and that's a 3-year deal projection. So I don't think that's happening. Any thoughts on these guys?
Yeah, Josh Uche is interesting because he does kind of fit that like designated pass rusher role that Michigan has liked to have, that both Harbaughs have liked to have. 7.25 is a bit much for what I would be willing to pay at that edge rusher spot, because he's not going to be a starter, you know, unless you move on from both Khalil and Joey. which I think would be kind of foolish, but that's just my opinion there. He is training with Coach Ed, so we know that the Chargers have at least previously valued a lot of Coach Ed's guys. He's a good player. I think he's the best player of this group, but Mike Dana would be interesting to me. Again, like you mentioned, the price there is probably too much, but having that defensive tackle, defensive end type to play around with Thule, I think is a lot of fun. That is something that I think the Chargers could draft.
Yes.
So I think this tier is probably too old on the far left. And then the other ones are probably too expensive.
Yeah. I think I agree there.
We'll get to the interior defensive line here. Definitely a group that the Chargers need to address in free agency, because as it currently stands, you have Morgan Fox, Otito Ogbonia, and Christopher Hinton as your three main ones on the roster. So got to do some work at the defensive tackle room. Brent Urban was a former Baltimore Raven. He's kind of like your, from a body type, kind of like a souped up Morgan Fox. He's a little bit taller, leaner, but he plays that kind of role. Same thing for Carl Davis. And then Chris Wormley, he's Michigan and Baltimore here. So any thoughts on this trio, Tyler?
I feel like this is the kind of free agent the Chargers would operate with. Just a quality, I guess, low cost. Find your Christian Covington sort of type with a connection that you've worked with before. So I definitely think they could go with a route more like this. And not so much Justin Madueke, whose contract is currently projected at 4 years, $23 million APY, which is a lot.
Yeah, a lot to say the least. There's a chance that he pushes for defensive tackle number two on the free agent market, only behind Aaron Donald, who is an outlier still at like $30 million per year. Justin Madueke deserves this. I mean, he is one of the best and most disruptive interior defensive lineman to sign this to play last season. Theoretically, the Chargers could get there if they rip the band-aid off and you get rid of the whole big four, and then you have the cap space to make this work. But is he worth all of that? I think it's a lot of cap gymnastics that you would have to do to sign Justin Madueke. Plus, you're betting on one breakout season being the norm going forward. Because you're paying for past production. You're also paying for future production when it comes to this kind of contract. So 4 years, $23 million per year, you're paying him with the intention that he is probably a future best interior pass rusher in the league type. Mm-hmm. Once Aaron Donald starts to slow down, theoretically, once he slow down, once Chris Jones starts to slow down, I can't see the Chargers really making that work.
Yes, and for those wondering, the way I have it is four by $23 million. I mean that as 4 years, $23 million. And as I have an APY there, that's per year. So that's $23 million per year, not $23 million over the course of 4 years. If that were the case, that's a completely 100%. Different point of answer for me, dude. In which case, Brad's projections would be terrible and awful and wrong. No, that's very unlikely to happen. I would almost get it, but that's a complete gutting of your roster for one defensive tackle who is very good. But it, you know, it's a little bit much for me right now. And it seems like it's a good defensive tackle class. Very much polar opposite Maurice Hurst, 18 pressures, two sacks, 14 stops this past year with the Browns. Projection 1 year at $1.75 million. That feels like a nice range to settle in. Not that I'm trying to be cheap here, but we know what the Chargers cap situation is. We don't know how much money they have until they have as much money as they have right now. It's negative $43 million. So gotta operate with those things in mind.
Yeah. You know, Arjun pointed this out, you know, questioning Morgan Fox's long-term or not long-term, I guess, short-term fit with the Chargers. Michigan and the Ravens do like to have kind of a pass rusher type, i.e. Justin Madueke. But generally speaking, they're still like around 305 pounds. They're bigger, longer athlete types. Which Morgan Fox is really not at this point. He's never been that guy, obviously. But Maurice Hurst, from an athletic profile standpoint, would fit what they would like. You know, he was a Michigan guy. Michigan defense has changed a lot since then. But I would not be opposed to this, especially if you're talking about a world where Morgan Fox is potentially not on the team.
Yeah, I agree. Alrighty, last but not least, linebacker and defensive back. Why do they combine? I don't know. That's how I do it. Also, I see I have the number two here. Definitely not the second thing here. Look, some things fall to the wayside when you're doing 40 free agents. One very expensive free agent, one not so much. Patrick Queen, projected at $18 million APY. That is a heck of a comp pick that Ravens will get for that contract, should that be the contract that he gets. Devin Bush Jr., Kalik Hudson, not so much. I think the Chargers could go this route. Go Deion Henley, go veteran other guy to pair with Navarro Bowman. Or not pair with, but to be coached under Navarro Bowman.
Yeah.
Officially the linebackers coach?
Yeah, officially. Yep.
Okay, so only one is technically not official is Hardwick, even though he confirmed it, but no Chargers tweet, I don't think. I could definitely see them going the veteran route again here. I think with defense in general, they're going to find those four guys that they can combined pay under $10 million. Patrick Queen, not happening.
Not happening. And even if the Chargers did have money, I would not be in favor of it. that contract for Patrick Queen is a tad ridiculous to me. I think, like, obviously the scheme fit would be very parallel to what he's experiencing, but this is a guy who's like, I still think is like very specific to a role where he can only play in a handful of places. Like, if you are the Detroit Lions and you want to go pay a linebacker, theoretically, I think they're set at linebacker, but hypothetically speaking, like, you can't put Patrick Queen in that same defense. Like, it just doesn't make sense. As Josh has pointed out, very high missed tackle rate still in his breakout season. Just does not make any sense. Devin Bush, Kalik Hudson, I would be fine with. I think you could definitely, you know, make an argument that the Chargers do need a veteran presence in the linebacker room. If you headed into the season with Deion Henley, Nick Neiman, a rookie of sorts, and then Amon Ogbong-Mbiega as your four, like, I think you can take some lumps of that position and kind of figure it out. But I think you could also say, hey, man, like, let's sign a veteran. Maybe he's our linebacker three. Let's have a competition. I'm not opposed to that world where you're paying $1.6 million or 3.6 for a potential veteran linebacker.
I'm almost wondering if we're jumping the gun too early on Kendricks being the guy that's cut. That tends to be something we do every simulation. But if this linebacker class isn't great and your other options are cheap but not really a starter, or Patrick Queen is way too expensive, I could see them keeping Kendricks for another year to try to see if we can actually find what you have in Deion Henley, someone else you draft in, you know, day three or whatever. I just think they might be quote unquote stuck at that spot, but we'll see.
Yeah, I guess it's not impossible that Eric Kendricks sticks around, but everybody he signed here to play under left, obviously. And I think that from a financial standpoint, it just is an easy decision, you know, for Joe.
Yeah.
I think he would be kind of a bad fit in the Jesse Minter defense too. So I'm assuming that he is gone, but assumptions are kind of a dangerous game at some point too.
All right, some cornerbacks. We have Rock Ya-Sin, Jordan Lewis, David Long, the first three that are up here. Rock Ya-Sin, more of an outside corner. David Long, more of an outside corner. Played with the Raiders and then the Panthers this past season. I'm very curious what the Chargers feel is the priority here, or who can actually play in what spots here. I think if you're using a round one or a first round pick on a player, it's not really a slot corner, although that was kind of the debate with someone like Trent McDuffie, who ended up being pretty good and doing a lot of other stuff for Kansas City. I think Jordan Lewis is kind of possible for the Chargers here, given that they don't really have a slot corner. And I think they desperately needed one last year. I don't know what his tackling numbers are specifically, but I think that just given how much he's played, I could see them going this route.
Four TDs. Does that mean four TDs allowed?
Against. Yes.
Yes. Okay. So not necessarily great there, but the Chargers will need to address the slot position. I think it would be easier for them to address outside corner in the draft. So I do kind of tend to agree if you could pay for a slot corner to come in, and I don't think Jasir Taylor's a starter, but, you know, at least have some competition. But if that's Jordan Lewis, I'm cool with it. I think his background is pretty zone heavy, so I think that could be a pretty easily translatable situation for him too. So he's played a lot of zone under Dan Quinn and that group. So I would be in favor of that. You know, $2.28 million for a quality stock corner. We saw what that did for Bryce Callahan. So I think that's an easy position that you pay for just to kind of stabilize and have to not worry about that in the draft or anything like that.
Yeah, I agree. After, or maybe with running back and center, I feel like corner is the next one you pay some veteran guy to be out here, whether it's slot guy, outside, they got to make it work. They'll find one of these guys. Could be Lewis.
Yeah.
A couple of safeties, Chuck Clark, DeShone Elliott, and Geno Stone. Geno Stone, of course, the, I guess, current Raven, former Raven. So he's projected at $2 million, or excuse me, 2 years, $6.5 million APY. Could go there, more of a bit of a more of a free safety type, DeShone Elliott. PFF's valuation is 1 year, $4 million. But then Chuck Clark played a lot for Baltimore. Then he was traded to the Jets and then tore his ACL. So obviously the injury isn't great, but he also played, as I wrote here, 3,000 snaps, like 1,000 snaps every year,
yeah,
3 years leading up to that. So I think that could be intriguing. Like, for the Ravens, Chuck Clark played a lot of snaps. That's definitely possible there if they move on from Alohi Gilman.
Yeah, I would be in favor of Chuck Clark or DeShone Elliott. I love Geno Stone coming out of the draft. I think paying him that kind of contract where you're paying him $13 million, you're betting on a breakout season. You're paying him at his peak production at coming off of 7 interceptions. That's a bit dicier. I think the fit would be obviously super clean. I would love to see that kind of production, obviously, at free safety. But I'm of the mindset that the Chargers should pay two veteran safeties, whether that's Alohi Gilman and somebody else or two somebody else's. I'm of the mindset that you solve that position in free agency. That's my opinion. I think whether it's a cheap guy and a mid-tier guy like DeShone Elliott, whatever you want to do in that pathway, I think this is, again, a safety draft class that has some deep options to it. But if you're really trying to grab like a reliable starter, I think you have to do that in the draft and in free agency. So bring back Alohi Gilman, bring in DeShone Elliott, and you have three reliable veteran safeties that you can trust to use on a regular basis. So that's my mindset at safety. I think that's the one position group where you should go definitely out and add multiple guys. Jesse Minter's defense requires reliable safety play. It doesn't necessarily require elite safety play, but you got to have guys you can trust to play multiple roles, handle different responsibilities. And I think it's just easier to acquire that in free agency.
Yeah, so just looking at the last two seasons for Mike McDonald, the Ravens had someone play about 400 coverage snaps as a third safety both those years. So, that's a lot of snaps for a player. Paying them, I would completely understand. Even if he's that third guy, I think you feel much better about that.
Yeah, 100%.
We made it, guys. Last two, Ronald Darby and Daryl Worley. Two guys, again, Baltimore. More Baltimore Ravens guys, mostly because of the connection, sure. But Darby's a guy they brought in, or they drafted. They either drafted and brought back in. No, he's currently playing for them. More options here. Didn't play a ton. Not going to cost them a ton. Both outside corners. Sure.
Yeah. I'm kind of comfortable with Dean Leonard being outside cornerback 3. Is that too rich for you?
I don't think it is if you assume that his trajectory continues and that with good defensive coaching that he will continue that ascension. So as of where he was last year, no. But there was a big jump between year one to year two. You make that same jump to year three, I would feel okay with it. I still think you got to find someone else just to be sure. I don't know. I feel like that's just too much faith in one player. Unless your slot corner can also play outside quite a bit or some sort of flexibility there. I think he should still be CB4.
Yeah, so what I'm picturing, like, the Chargers room is Asante, a veteran slot corner, and a rookie outside corner that you're taking in the first three rounds.
Me too.
That's your starting trio. And then Dean Leonard is your CB4, but outside cornerback 3.
You'd have to convince me on the flexibility of that slot corner veteran that you signed. I still think Dean should be the outside corner four. Okay. Even if that's Rich, I think you'd be, or draft someone to be competition there.
Yeah. Okay. So again, I think cornerback outside wise, I think you draft that guy in the first three rounds. Mm-hmm. Christian Hernandez asking right now about Mike Davis. 100% not a scheme fit for Jesse Minter. I think that's pretty clear that Michael Davis needs to be in a man heavy scheme, and that's just not what Jesse Minter is going to be doing.
Yeah. Although it is the opposite year now. So he's got good year, bad year. So we're on good year now.
Yeah. Would be fantastic if, like, the Colts, say, for example, gave him a nice little contract, but can't really see that happening. All right, let's get to some of these super chats real quick, and then we'll head out for today. We have from Envy Talent, who we don't usually get to see during the week. He's usually a Saturday guy. We don't do Saturdays anymore. So appreciate Envy Talent for jumping in here. He says, are there any problems we may be overlooking with the stripping of Michigan defensive staff transitioning to the pros? And then he says, also, what is Jim's offense and high?
Jim's offense is Greg Roman's offense, and we've seen that, although I believe there will be some variation to it. Again, never had a run game or pass game coordinator with Roman and Harbaugh back at the 49ers, so things could change. Problems with stripping that defensive staff, transitioning to the pros, not really, in my opinion. I'm not too worried about that. It's nice to know that McDonald did it, although they didn't strip the entire defensive staff. It wasn't a complete exodus of the program. But I feel like you feel good about that translating because we just saw it. It'll take some time. The Ravens have drafted better. They had more guys in place. But I think that we feel okay about it overall.
Yeah, I can understand why somebody would be concerned. I'm not at that point. I think they have enough NFL experience with Jesse Minter, Navarro Bowman, and the staff is not complete. Like, there are still other coaches that could come in and coach up other roles. So I think the key thing that Jim Harbaugh wanted to get out of this hiring cycle was to have consistent, like, schematic continuity, that he wanted to be able to have all these guys who can translate what they're trying to do to the players at the level that it requires. I think that it's great and dandy to have all of these high quality NFL coaches, but if you have to teach those coaches the scheme, it's not the same thing as people who already know it teaching the players the scheme. So I think schematic continuity was definitely the goal of how they approach this defensive staff. And honestly, the defense is probably going to be pretty young across the board. So having guys who are fresh out of college is not necessarily the worst thing with this kind of group, because, like, Derwin's a veteran, Khalil's a veteran, but they're not going to have a ton of other veterans starting and playing key roles for them. I do think it is going to be kind of a younger defense anyway.
Yeah, I agree. This won't be, you know, to your point, the scheme should be similar. Like, they're all coming together, so it should be very translatable. With someone like Brandon Staley, looking back at that, there were a lot more guys out of Iowa, I believe, was the running backs coach, Derek Foster, out of Tennessee. Those different spots. Akron, I forgot how you say it, sorry. You know, I think that maybe didn't help having, like, they wanted a hive mind of very different approaches, and I don't think that helped as much. This is very different. Now it's mostly from one program.
Yeah. You know, and a lot of those guys were from different schematics, different, you know, roots. Like, Derek Anzi was an Alabama defensive guy, which has some similarities to what Michigan was doing, but, you know, Alabama's defense was very, like, 3-4 heavy, and, like, they had some 3-3-5 principles to it. It was a lot more man coverage, whereas Jesse Minter's defense is a lot more zone. So I think it's important to have guys who have been in the system, can translate right away. They don't need to be taught it. I think that can help too. Mm-hmm. From Nature's Calls, he says that we should watch Ben Sinnott, or however you say it, the tight end / fullback from Kansas State. He's definitely on my list. We both use Caddy's cutups to watch all 22 film, and they do not have very much tight end tape. So hopefully getting to the rest of the tight end group soon here.
Yes, very soon. Although offensive tackles is on the deck next for us on Saturday.
Yes. Envy back again here. How many top 100 picks would satisfy us? I say 5.
Yeah, So they have four, if you count, not if you count, they have pick 106. So that's about four. It's really just three, but five would be great. Five in the top 106 would be fantastic. And if you can acquire, you know, another one in the sixth round, cool. Awesome.
Yeah, I think so. To get to five, that would probably require at least two trade backs. I don't know how likely that is, but you know, I'm not gonna doubt Joe Ortiz, but because I just tend to think that the Chargers are not gonna get a top 100 pick for any of the players that they potentially trade. I know that people are really hoping for that, but you know, we kind of tried to pull some cold water on the trade talk, and people were like, no, like they like Klumak's coming off of an elite season, like somebody will definitely trade a second round pick for him. And then Brad Spielberger wrote an article with a Klumak trade in it, and it was for a 2025 fourth round pick. Yeah. And people were like, that's ridiculous. I'm like, I'm going to trust Brad on that. I just think that for these players that the Chargers are potentially trading, they're not going to get a top 100 pick in this year's draft. So to get five, you got to trade down a couple times, which is certainly possible. But, you know, I think four is probably the minimum that you're hoping for.
Yeah, we looked at some different trades. And look, someone can totally overpay. It happens all the time. Someone could be desperate, totally. But yeah, probably that fourth round pick next year. If it's a pick this year and the projection is fourth round next year, that'll be about a fifth rounder this year. So
yeah.
That's about it, guys. And that is the most Keenan Allen staying. Like, he is staying and he thinks he's staying. He is staying. So Mac is the next best option to be traded, I think, to get the most value. I think. And that's only a fifth round pick next year. Fourth round pick next year.
Yeah. Like Eddie saying in the chat, like I love Khalil Mack. I think he should stay on the Chargers, but I just don't see a way where you're getting a third round pick and a sixth round pick in return for him right now at this stage of his career. You know, he is going to be 33 next season. He's a free agent. He's an expensive free agent contract. So it just, the trade package is not going to be what you want. That's what I'm going to say now. Last thing here, we're not going to spend a ton of time on the coaching staff today, but people were kind of freaking out about the Mark Trestman hire.
Yeah, this is weird.
So what are your thoughts here? I meant to put this one in here from opinions on the Trestman hire here in Mixed Opinions. Any final thoughts on Mark Trestman before we head out for tonight?
Senior offensive analyst. I think that maybe it's not, you know, offensive coordinator. It's not pass game coordinator. I think as senior offensive analyst, I think it's fine, guys. It's not some really, really big role that's going to determine the fate of Justin Herbert. And if Herbert has a rough season, I'm not going to say, Trestman, I knew it, or something. I just don't think you can have that much. So, you know, maybe there's a slight edge there, given he's worked in multiple systems, I guess, like different leagues is what I'm saying. So maybe there's some sort of advantage there, pulling ideas. I think it was Harbaugh who would, at several points, hire different guys to, you know, hire an offensive guy to be like a defensive analyst or vice versa. And so I just think having another opinion in the room is great. There really isn't much here though, but it was so weird because they hired him. There's so many other names. It was like, Mark Trestman. And then other fans of other teams are like, haha, you got Trestman. It's like, guys, it's a senior offensive analyst. Like, it's not going to be the deciding factor, I don't think, on game day.
No, I mean, there's a lot of guys out there that hire this kind of role just to like fill in some gaps. Like, I think that's what you're trying to get here. Like the Rams had Jay Gruden as like a senior offensive analyst. It's really somebody who is watching film, doing scouting reports, you know, just is kind of an extra resource that you don't really necessarily use a ton. Mark Trestman, I think he has a ton of experience. He's been an offensive coordinator with John Harbaugh. He's been a head coach. He also was Marcus Brady's mentor in the CFL. So there is a lot of schematic overlap there. In terms of a senior offensive analyst, the Chargers didn't have one under Brandon Staley. They didn't have a defensive senior analyst either. So it just is kind of personal preference. Like, he's kind of just like that extra resource that some people like to have, so that on the staff. And I think, it's not that big of a deal. Like, people were like, he was terrible as the Bears head coach. It's like, yes, that's why he was fired and why he hasn't been a head coach since. As a senior offensive analyst, this is fine. He loves Justin Herbert, for what it's worth. He was working with the 33rd team last year and wrote a wonderful article about Justin Herbert after the Packers game, I believe, and still thought that Justin Herbert was playing at a top five level, MVP kind of caliber player. So continuing the theme of hiring guys who love Justin Herbert, if you will.
I can't imagine you hire someone who's like, not
Herbert. That Justin Herbert guy sucks, but yeah. Hire me.
Hey, man, I think Acho could have 49ers, Michigan, Ravens ties, and I still don't think they'd hire him.
Likely we do not have to listen to that guy at the podium.
We get Navarro Bowman as our linebacker.
Yeah. Once the Chargers have every spot filled on the coaching staff, we'll give further thoughts there. Because obviously there's a lot to dive into. The Nick Harwick thing, super cool. Very excited to see how that one works out.
Yep.
He was the reason why I played center. I wore number 61 in high school because of him. So pretty excited about that one. But like I said, we'll talk about the entire coaching staff once it's officially finalized, hopefully in the next week or so.
Yeah, exciting stuff. I mean, Nick Harwick, we got Navarro Bowman. Everyone is saying, yeah, Philip Rivers next. I don't know. I feel like it's a 0.5% now more likely, but still, I don't think it's going to happen.
He's very happy coaching high school football. His son is a sophomore next year. So I'm never going to say never about Philip Rivers coaching in the NFL, but I'm pretty confident that he will not be coaching in the NFL while his son is still in high school.
No. When the rest of his kids show up and they're not as good, I don't know, maybe he leaves. But go out on top with the high school title.
Yeah, shout out Gunnar Rivers, man. Lighten up the high school scene in Alabama. So should be fun to watch that one come out. It makes me feel so old. Antonio Gates' son is in next year's draft class. So, yeah. Although I don't know if he's a draftable player or not, but he's draft eligible, I guess, at least.
That's wild. I almost feel like it's rite of passage to go undrafted. See if you can break every record and not make the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, yeah. I had, for the first time, I met with a student of mine today that was a freshman born in 2008, which is when I was a freshman in high school. So that was kind of like a, oh my gosh, I'm so old moment for me today. So there we go.
Oh man. Yeah. Now they're doing like the, you know, like when we were kids for Spirit Day, do like, oh, 70s.
Now it's 2000s day. Yeah.
And I'm like, no. I was just there. Oh,
I lived those days.
Also, like, that's not as long ago. I don't know.
No.
Like 70s, you know, we were like late 2000s. We were in like middle school, high school.
Yeah.
I don't know. 2000s, like, come on, guys.
We were having a conversation after that one. I went out to our learning center, was having a conversation with my coworkers, and like one of my closer coworkers, he just turned 50. And like, we were having this conversation about feeling old. And one of the students was like, hey, Mr. Fisher, like, were you in World War II? What was that like?
There's no concept of time for these kids. I mean, they're
no.
Like, oh, what's the oldest date you can think of? 2006. Like,
yeah, it was a fun one, though. He was like, what the hell? I'm not that old. World War II was like 90 years ago.
Oh, man. I'm not ready for those times, but not yet. Not old. I'm not like 30.
Yeah.
I got one more year to say that.
Yeah. Oh, man. Good stuff. All right, guys, that's going to do it for us today. Appreciate all of you for tuning in. Hopefully you enjoyed the 40 plus names here. They can't all be Justin Matabike's, but we had Steve was in World War II. Thank you, Jorge. Thank you. They can't all be Justin Matabike's, but a lot of fun connections to potentially talk about there. We'll dive more into external free agent targets. I love doing free agency targets, even though the Chargers have signed a few free agents that we've wanted them to. Some have obviously turned out better than others, but it's a fun time to talk about it. 1 month left there. Combine in a couple weeks, so we'll get a lot more intel of how the Chargers are going to use that resource. So should be a lot of fun here coming up in the beginning of the off season. So I guess technically this is our first GAC channel episode of the 2024 season, Tyler, now that the Super Bowl's over.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. You're correct.
So
there we go. Look at that.
Happy 2024 season, y'all. All right, guys. We'll be live back again on Saturday. We'll do a Q&A, and then we'll be talking about the hog mollies, offensive tackles, and how the Chargers could potentially address that position. So you already know that I'm super excited about that one. Appreciate all of you for tuning in. Hopefully you have a good rest of your night and weekend, and we'll see you next time. As always, Bolt Up.